Welcome to Compliance Perspectives. I'm Adam Schultau from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining me today from Falls Church, Virginia is Carl Hahn. Carl is the Vice President and Chief Compliance Officer for Northrop Grumman Corporation. And we're going to be talking today about metrics in your compliance program. Carl, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Adam. And I'm delighted to be able to share a conversation with you and your listeners. And before we get started, I'll just note that the comments that I offer today are my own views and not those of Northrop Grumman. But with that, let's jump into the questions.
All right, great. So first, what are the metrics that you think are most valuable for measuring the effectiveness of a compliance and ethics program?
So that's a great question, Adam, and one that I've discussed often with my fellow chief compliance officers, and one that gets asked, you know, by regulators and others interested in our profession. The kinds of metrics that I look at are beyond just activity numbers. I think a lot of programs and there's been commentary around this will track how often certain things happen, which isn't unimportant, but isn't necessarily the most informative metric of how effective your program is. So when I'm looking at program effectiveness, I'm looking at things such as employee survey data. And if your company does a broad survey of employees across your company and asks ethics and compliance related questions, those frankly are very helpful in understanding not only the tone and tenor of your organization, but can also be instructive in terms of finding hotspots or particular microcultures which might need additional attention, where there may be areas of misunderstanding or a lack of awareness, or where policies and procedures are confusing and not leading to desired outcomes. Well-designed surveys that are done in conjunction with, you know, behavioral scientists and others who know how to write good survey questions can be incredibly helpful metric. Second, I think many of us are looking at things that are quite obvious, but nevertheless, you should be looking at them, such as allegations and investigations, right? What kinds of claims are coming into your hotline or through your other reporting channels? Are there trends? Are there groupings? Are there particular locations where you're seeing, a particular type of conduct? Those are also metrics. How many are you getting? How many are anonymous? What are the buckets of areas for those allegations? Another area which we should not forget about for those who are listening who are in publicly traded companies, you'll have or in private firms as well, you'll have a audit function. You'll have a general auditor and an internal audit function, or an external auditor, and those audit findings, how your controls are being tested, what systemic, if any, issues are being identified by audits, how are your internal processes and procedures being monitored, and what are the findings coming out of that, and is corrective action being identified, and as importantly, is corrective action being implemented? That's another important area of data. I've also been doing a lot of thinking, Adam, around testing, right? Testing people in terms of, are they retaining the information that you're training them on? Is it sinking in? Are they getting it? Is it shaping behavior? That's something where we're looking to cycle back and determine whether knowledge is actually being ingested and being acted upon. And then, of course, you know, not to forget, there's good old fashioned financial data, right? Which is, you know, your travel expenses, your credit card usage, your accounts payable, your timekeeping system. All those are huge data sources that can be looked at in terms of determining what's going on in your company. And you can use that to inform whether your compliance program is in fact working as designed.
Yeah, and timekeeping data I know can be especially important for government contractors. Now,
absolutely.
Not all of this data is going to be stuff that's easily at hand for the compliance team. You may have to find it elsewhere. What's some of the data that's important to collect from other groups within the organization?
So I think you should take a step back, because the whole question about data is one that's been interesting me quite a bit recently. And I think the first premise is looking at the whole concept of data governance. And that's, where is your data? And your data, a lot of your data will not be within compliance, right? There'll be certain kinds of data. Maybe it's your hotline data. Maybe it's a degree of investigation data, depending on how you're organized. Maybe it's a subset of data. But a great body of very significant data is not going to be within compliance. It's going to be in other functions. For example, the finance function, or a quality or safety organization, if you have that kind of organization, or an ERP system. et cetera. And so data governance, right? Where is our data? Can we find our data? What is the quality of that data? And can that data be effectively used for being mined or having analytics to really inform us in making better decisions?
Now, you touched on one problem companies have often is finding data. What are some of the other challenges you find in getting the data?
So you need to understand your data architecture. Depending on the size, a smaller company, and I know many of our members are smaller companies, the data may all be in one place. It may be literally on one server. You may have just one ERP system. And frankly, that's very beneficial. And, I'm envious. Larger companies that have multinational or global operations, it's not uncommon to find, and I've heard this input from many, that there are multiple instances, for example, of an ERP system. So there are financial systems and HR systems and other systems that are residing in literally different instances, even of the same software platform, and they're not talking to each other. They're not integrated. So you literally have to go from one system to another and pull things out. That's one issue. The other issue is things, archive data or historical data may be in different locations. Some may be on the cloud, some may be on servers, some may be on client devices. So you really need to do mapping, Adam, to figure out, so where is the data? And you should anticipate that it won't be as obvious a question as you might think, depending on the size and complexity of your organization. The larger it is, the more complex it is, I think the more challenging it could be to actually find the data. There's also some other issues. If you're global, some of that data is not in English, or even in Roman characters. You'll have data in kanji, for example, or in Arabic or in Cyrillic. So when you're looking at data analytics, can your programs read that data? And is that data in a form that can be actually analyzed? That's another issue that you need to think about. And finally, but this is absolutely critically important. So you found the data, you're not done yet. You are nowhere close to done. What is the quality of that data? Is that data corrupted? Is it inaccurate? Because sometimes as humans inputting the data, and they just get it wrong. The field's been filled out, but it's wrong. It turned out that person's actually male, not female, or the date of birth is wrong, or contact information is wrong, or some pertinent piece of information is inaccurate, or it's incomplete. It's just not all there. So the quality of the data and the process by which you clean and create data that can be effectively analyzed is actually a very important step of this whole process of using data as a foundational platform against which you can use other tools such as analytics to do what? Inform the effectiveness of your compliance program, but candidly help the business make a whole host of decisions across the landscape.
Yeah, which is not a point to be taken too lightly, is the fact that not only are you getting better measurements for your compliance program, ultimately you're helping the business units run
right.
Better. So what are some of the other techniques you found are most effective for overcoming these inherent challenges? I mean, it's not just from a compliance perspective. From every perspective, it can be difficult managing all these multiple systems around organizations.
It can. But let me just pick up on what you just said there in terms of helping the business, because I actually do think this process of finding data and analyzing data allows for risk management, which is what a lot of us do to align with achieving the strategy of the business. And it's really part and parcel of embedding compliance and risk management into business operations, as opposed to what you might have seen in the past, a strictly sort of enforcement-oriented check-the-box mindset, which has it off to the side, but perhaps not integrated into the achieving of the strategy. So that's one thing I just wanted to pick up on there based on your comment. The other thing is, in terms of overcoming the challenges, I alluded to this earlier, it's a data governance process by which you find, clean and create data that can be analyzed. That needs to be supported, in my opinion, by your company leadership at the most senior levels. It needs to be a company priority. There needs to be resources allocated to it. There needs to be a sense of urgency. There needs to be the burning platform to drive organizational transformation. And compliance can be part of that, but it cannot be the only reason that you're doing it. And a cross-functional team is really critical to getting that organizational buy-in. And that cross-functional team is people from business units and from the various functions like finance and audit and legal and others to really come together as a team to look at what should be an organizational priority. Because again, the ultimate goal here is to help the company make better decisions derived from high quality data. And some of that is going to be, how can we go grow our revenue? How can we go find new markets? How can we go, you know, develop better products? But a lot of it, a significant portion of it is going to be, how can we effectively manage risk in a way that supports the strategy and the way that protects the shareholders?
Yeah, you talked there about the team that's going to be needing to use the data. You also are going to obviously need a team and a bunch of allies to get to the data. Who are the best people to be getting, you know, as your allies in this effort?
So you need a core team. And, you know, here, you know, one of the interesting aspects of this whole space in terms of data and data analytics is essentially the creation of newish roles. And I think from my standpoint, a real hub of your cross-functional team is going to be your IT team, which should be supported by data scientists who understand really what it takes to get good data together and analyze that data in a way that provides value, that have the skills with the algorithms, et cetera, to produce helpful results. That process, however, needs to be informed by subject matter experts who are like, for example, you're going to go do something in an accounting system. Well, you need to be talking to the company's accountants to really understand what is their critical data. What is the data that they are using in their workflows to actually make decisions? And how can you use that? How can you, A, again, find that data, make sure that data is in a condition to be analyzed, and then use that analysis to help the accountants and or whatever function is that's involved make better decisions. So it's really a partnership, and it's a partnership in a really fundamental way between the technology side and the functional side, with an overlay, kind of an umbrella of a common commitment to the fact that you're on a journey of potentially significant organizational transformation, because data may in fact change the way jobs are being done and the way decisions are being made, and the outcomes may in fact result in approaches or new strategies that are quite different than the folks have anticipated, because sometimes you just don't know what you don't know yet until you've actually looked at the data.
Yeah, and then once you get the data, you're sort of only halfway there, because then it gets to be the question of what do we do with it to get the most usable learning out of it. So, you know, again, if you can find it, you can clean it, you can get it all there, what comes next?
So this is where, you know, you've done all this hard work and, you know, you've gotten to a place where you can take the next step. And I think there is where you're looking for the payoff in terms of let's take a compliance or risk management lens to this. You're looking to mine data to find, you know, patterns of conduct that may require further investigation. You may be looking for trends or sort of anomalies in data, whether for example, in accounts payable or in data movement to, you know, unsecured devices or things like that, which then can be extrapolated back into specific instances or conduct, which then may require further follow-up. And then based on that, you can take a further step back and say, well, what is the cause of this behavior? What's the root cause of this behavior? The data will actually help you understand that. And then that can inform things such as what? Your communication awareness and training programs to sort of manage the behavior so that you're seeing less of what you're seeing in the data. So it becomes what I would call an ecosystem that feeds upon itself. You can run so many different scenarios, Adam, based on this way that based on data analytics. You can do things such as, you know, we've identified XYZ pattern of conduct in the data. We then took these corrective actions, and now let's see what's happened. Is the trending change? Is the conduct training? Or we did a training program, or we did an awareness program. Did that actually have any impact on what we're seeing in our data? And that then I think becomes a feedback loop on your effectiveness. And of course, you know, given some of the other conversations that you have across the compliance space, there's always the classic areas such as, you know, fraud and corruption. And for example, you know, a lot of companies have a very large third party ecosystem, whether it's, you know, supply chain or other third parties they work with. Can you then collect data on those third parties and use that to identify, again, patterns of conduct that would require further study, which can then also inform the effectiveness of your overall program?
Well, this is very informative. And before we include any final advice in this whole area?
You asked me to think about this before we got on, Adam. And what immediately came to my mind was the following. This is a marathon. It is one foot in front of the other. It is the long run. You're running every day. You will at some point hit the wall, but you have to get through it. Change management consultants sometimes call it the valley of desolation. You will get through it. You will get to the other side, and you will get to the finish line. But it is the marathon. It is not a sprint. So I would counsel patience, commitment, and steadfast persistence in this effort, and it will deliver results in the end.
Well, thanks. It's great insight, and I realize that in a short podcast like this, it is a little bit more of a sprint through this stuff than the long walk through it, but there's a lot here. So, Carl, thank you again for taking the time to talk to us today. Thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.